could brave the cold weather to join us, I'll invite you to stand and worship with us. We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise.
We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way.
'Cause He hung upon that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God's still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise.
Amen. You guys can have your seats.
You made it. Good morning. There's extra special joy in the house, I think, on a snowy morning. Don't you guys think? Well, Happy New Year. Welcome. My name is Suzanne Davidson. I'm the discipleship pastor here. We're so glad that you all made it in this morning. And those of you who are joining us online, welcome to you as well. We're thrilled that you're here. We just wanted to share this morning about an opportunity we have for those of you who might have just started to join us, maybe through the Christmas season or the last part of last year, or maybe this morning's your first morning and you're jumping in here at Western Hills this morning. We have a gathering that's called Starting Point, and we'll be meeting next Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. down in the South Lobby. And this is just for newcomers to get to know a little bit about who we are at Western Hills, find out how you get connected, and we'd love to hear a little bit about your story too. So please join us. You can go to that QR code there with your phone, and it'll take you to a link to sign up, or you can just simply put on your connection card this morning that you want to join Starting Point next week, and we'll get you hooked up for that. Now, I also heard a little bit of something through the grapevine, and that is that we might be having coffee coming back on Sunday mornings very soon, okay? We got some cheers. If you just cheered, if coffee is your jam, we would love to have you join part of that team just to kind of help us get it going and share some more vision and come alongside our hospitality initiative team as we get that going so we can all get caffeinated in the mornings and sing even louder, which is what we're going to continue in worship this morning. So if you would stand, we will continue to sing.
Thank you, Suzanne. Let's continue singing.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide.
So I was thinking back on this past year, right, in proper New Year's fashion. I could see that there was a lot of hard things that happened in 2021, right, continuing from 2020, and I'm sure all of us are in the same boat there. But I was also able to stop and see places where God did some really cool things too, and where he moved. And because of that, I was able to look back and see places throughout 2021 where I could lift up praise. And I didn't have to hold that back, but I could give thanks to God. I could worship him for that. And so this morning, as we sing one more song, as we get ready for Suzanne to come up and kick off a new series, I want to invite you to use these next few moments just to pause, to sit at Jesus' feet and lift up praise, holding nothing back, all right? I think that'll put us in a great position, a great posture to hear his word. So I'll invite you to sing that with us.
Creation, cry, God,
can't hold back my praise. I gotta let it out. I can't hold back my praise. I gotta let it out. I can't hold back my praise. I gotta let it out. I can't hold back my praise. I gotta let it out. I can't hold back my praise. I gotta let it out. I can't hold back my praise. I gotta let it out. I can't hold back my praise. I gotta let it out. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive. God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. For all creation cry, God, we praise you. Amen. Amen. You guys can have your seats.
Ooh, that's a good way to start the new year. Well, good morning again, everybody. Happy New Year. Let's try that again. Happy New Year. Excellent, excellent. Much better. I expect first service not to be awake, but come on, you guys, you got this. So as Colin said, like this time that we stand here looking into a new year, it's common that we kind of want to look back and see what happened, but also look forward to what's coming. And so just, I think we wrapped up the end of 2021 on a pretty good note. But when you look back over the whole year, once again, it was about all of us, both personally and as a church family, finding some new rhythms, right? Like figuring out this phase of the pandemic and what that looks like and how we all get through. And one of the things as a leadership team that we made a commitment to do over the course of this year is to not just be looking back at what was, but really to be focused and committed to looking forward. And what is this new place that God has us in? And what opportunities do we have there? Not just about waiting for the old to come back. So this has been a season of preparing. And I think that you'll see that continue going into 2022. But as we wrap up the end of this year, again, I think it was pretty cool. We had this Renovate series, which really was teaching us about a good and beautiful God. And how to have that intimate personal relationship with him and those spiritual practices that hopefully we can all take forward in 2022 to help us just continue that connection with him. We ended the year with some baptisms, which was just fantastic. So great to celebrate those. And then just for me personally, just a lovely Christmas Eve service. This was my first one to be part of the church family in person. And so I just, that was lovely. It was great spending the evening with you. And so now we're ready to kick off 2022. And I'm super excited to see what God is going to be doing in this season, and I hope you are too. So I thought we would just start off this year with a little prayer as we kind of give this year and what's coming to him. So let's do that now together. Father God, thank you so much for who you are. And as we look forward to what's next, we honor what has come so far. And we thank you for who you are and how you have brought us through that and in it. But we also look forward, Lord, with expectation for what this coming year has. And I pray for us just individually and as a church family that we would just grab onto you. That 2022 would be about seeking after your face in the quiet, in the daily routine, and alongside those who don't yet know you. We ask these things, Lord, with great expectation and just the hope of having your spirit lead us and be with us side by side. And so we look forward to doing that with you this year, Father. from Western Hills in your son's name. Amen. So part of kicking off a new year is also starting a new series. And the name of our series this time is called Exiles. And this is a study of the book of 1 Peter. Now, 1 Peter is in the New Testament. It's a tiny book. It's only about five chapters, so not very big towards the end of the New Testament. But it is small but mighty, I will say. There's a lot to unpack in 1 Peter. And I think that God is really going to meet us right where we are as individuals and as a church family and use this in a mighty way to walk us through what he has in the next season. So let's start and talk a little bit about what we know about this book, who's writing it, who's hearing it, and how that relates to what we're doing. Who wrote this book? This book, as the title says, is written by the Apostle Peter. And I just love Peter. He's a pretty important dude in Scripture. He was one of those guys who was in the inner circle with Jesus, of kind of those three guys that walked really, really closely with him alongside James and John. I learned this as I was studying this time. He's actually mentioned in the New Testament more than any other person except for Jesus. And he also speaks more, which, as we'll learn about Peter, is not, you won't be surprised at the end of this. He's a talker, and he speaks the most. And also Jesus speaks to him more than he speaks to any other disciple. Now, when we think about Peter and what his approach is to ministry and to life, well, it seems like he's kind of just a little bit all over the place. This is probably why I like him so much, and probably why I can relate to him so much, and maybe some of you can too. Peter was just a person who loved people, and he was filled with enthusiasm for everything that was happening around him. He was the first person in line to follow Jesus. He was the one who proclaimed Jesus more loudly, more clearly, more correctly, more enthusiastically than anyone else. His voice could be heard above the rest. He was the one who praised Jesus more than anyone else. And the disciple, remember, he's the disciple that took that step of faith and actually couldn't wait to get to Jesus and stepped out on water and began to walk on water towards Jesus. He just had this overflowing enthusiasm for Jesus that was just contagious to people around him. But on the other hand, he was also the disciple that Jesus had to rebuke the most. Peter kind of tended to get ahead of himself with some of his enthusiasm. I mean, remember, when he took that step of faith to walk out on water, it wasn't too long after that he panicked and started to sink. Remember, Peter was the one in the drama of the moment at Jesus' arrest that he cut off a guy's ear and Jesus had to come back and fix it. He was the person who most publicly and vehemently denied Jesus and was even compared to Satan. So you see these two sides of Peter. You can't help but love him and just want to be like him in the way that his enthusiasm was. But then there are other moments that you're like, Peter, what are you doing? And I was thinking as I was studying this, you know, if Peter had an emoji, I think his emoji might be like that facepalm one, right? Like, what? You started out so good, and then what happened? Oh, Peter, are you really the guy I'm going to take advice from? But I think in this case, even with all those ups and downs and all those face palms that sometimes come along with him, Peter and his profession of faith was what Jesus said was the rock that the church would be built on. He said those things, and Jesus said those things about him. And remember that within a few years of when this was written, which was about 63, 64 AD, Peter himself would be persecuted, imprisoned, and martyred. So while he had this gusto for Jesus that maybe, even if it was sometimes a little bit misplaced, he also was able to keep that in the middle of his own suffering. So I think that's someone we should listen to. Who was this book written to? We know a little bit about Peter now, so now let's think about who he was writing to here. So Peter was writing to a group of early Christians. In the first verse of the letter, it says he was written to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners. This is going to be important as we go through the series and this morning as well. So these weren't Christians that were around Jerusalem. This is where the early church had sort of expanded up and out into these Roman provinces. And it's much of what you can see on the map, much of what we'd refer to today as modern day Turkey. So it's this broad area of the map of our population, again, outside of Jerusalem. And so these are Christians who were living in cultures that were definitely not Christian. Peter calls them pioneers of the dispersion, which is a parallel bit. Again, thinking back to, if you remember our epic series that we did towards the beginning of this year, we did a whole week on the exile. And so he's making this parallel between these Christian believers of today with the Jews who were scattered in exile and lived in foreign lands back during the time of the exile. Now, unlike a lot of Paul's letters that are written to a specific church with a specific issue that he was trying to address, Peter's letter was written to a much broader audience. Again, all of the Christians who were living in this particular region. And he had this frame of mind of them living as exiles. And that wasn't just because of where they lived geographically, but maybe more importantly, because of how they lived and how they proclaimed Christ. And the way that that was, it wouldn't have been normal in those areas. Even if it was a place that they grew up, their behavior and the way that they were encountering the world now would have been different. And it wouldn't have been normal in that area, and it wouldn't really have been accepted. This was a time in history where the Roman Empire was putting more and more pressure on the Christians. And it was really starting to ramp up in terms of persecution. So Peter wrote it. This group of Christians received it. Let's think about now why. Why did Peter write it? Early in this Christmas break, we had a chance, our family did, to go spend a day in Kansas City. And spent there all day and did lots of gallivanting all around. And we were tired. It was about 9 o'clock at night. And we're like, we want to find a place to eat. We don't want it to be a place in Topeka. We like to kind of be adventurous that way. But we were all hungry and tired. And so we stumbled across this place called Gates Barbecue. If you guys ever, it's pretty common, like not from here. So I guess that's good. It was amazing, by the way. But apparently they have this thing that we didn't know about. And so when you walk in the door, they say, how may I help you? How may I help you? Like, that's their thing. And I don't know if it's like this at every one, but this is what it was for us that night. How may I help you? And so at first I'm thinking, oh, that's nice. Look, they're friendly. They talk to you when you walk in the door. And we're standing in line again late at night. Lots of people there trying to get some food. And they keep saying, how may I help you? How may I help you? And I realize, like, they're looking at us. And they're wanting us to, like, shout our order out as we're standing in line so that they can start making the food. And I'm looking at this menu going, I don't even know what this menu is saying. Like, I don't understand this. It seems different to me. And so they're saying, how may I help you? And I'm thinking, I have no idea. And in the meantime, we've got, you know, the teenagers who are mortified and the people behind the counter who are getting frustrated and the people behind us in line who are probably getting impatient. And I definitely felt like a fish out of water. And how much I would have loved in that moment to have someone who'd been through experience there with me. To give me instructions or even just to walk alongside and help me through that experience. I wish I had someone to explain it and to help show me the ropes. I imagine that this kind of encouragement and instruction was Peter's motivation and his heart as he wrote this letter. See, he knew what it was like to try and live your best life for Christ and kind of end up floundering. Remember, he was the one who was all out there, but then sometimes it didn't work out the way he thought it was going to. So he knew that was what it was like. He knew what it was like to feel isolated and alone as a Christ follower and to need someone to show him the ropes, especially, especially in an environment that was becoming increasingly hostile to believers. So Peter not only empathized with the Christians in those areas, he empathized with them as well as just writing to them to try and give information. He was on that same journey himself. See, Peter wrote encouragement and instruction to the Christians who were living in a way that was different from their surrounding culture. They lived as exiles. Did you know that so do we? So do we. That may sound a little bit strange, maybe even a little bit difficult to believe, but let me tell you what I mean here. Did you know that the fastest growing segment of our population today are people who identify themselves as having no faith tradition? No faith tradition. These are what are called the nones. Now that's N-O-N-E, not N-U-N, okay? These are the nones. So they're the people who on that those surveys that come out, they mark none when it comes to their faith tradition. And in fact, for the first time in American history, over 50% of our population identifies as a none, which makes it more than Christianity, Islam, and Judaism combined. So maybe, just maybe, the circumstances of the recipients of Paul's letter aren't that different than what we're starting to walk in today. Minus things like smartphones and closed-toed shoes. We got those things covered. That's a little different. But in thinking about those circumstances, maybe it's not that different. We are sojourning through a culture that largely has never met Jesus. What do we do with that? I don't think we've fully realized yet the effects of that long-term. We haven't, you know, in recent history, been living that way. This is a shift that we're experiencing. But I think it's something that should give us pause. I think there's some questions we should ask and things we might be wondering. How do we shine the light of Christ in this environment? What opportunities are there do we have to bring others along with him, with us on this journey? Not everyone around the corner has heard of Jesus before. Second, how do we maintain our faithfulness to God? How do we stay true to who we are and who he's called us to be in an environment that is different? How do we respond when our faith is opposed or even denied? How do we respond in that situation? And are we safe? Is it all going to be okay? I think these are questions that we may have and that we probably need to ask ourselves. Now, luckily, Peter was writing to exiles, so we can take what he has to say for us as well. And in this series, we've got a verse here from chapter 2 that we're going to kind of cling to as we go throughout this series. But you can see that we're going to get some really great perspective from Peter as we go forward about how to live as exiles. This journey, it summarizes what we'll be exploring. He'll remind us of our identity in Christ. He'll give us some guidance for how to stand firm in this environment, in this culture that brings trials and persecution. He'll show us how to live lives that are set apart by Christ and let us be the perfect reflection of who he is because of him. Peter says that living like an exile means to live walking in the way of Jesus. Living like an exile means to live walking in the way of Jesus. One could even phrase this as being living out the reality of Jesus. If you've been around here any time at all, you know that this is something that we not only say all the time, but really want to try and live out. We've got it on our wall. It's everything that we do is aimed towards living out the reality of Jesus. So this is not a new concept that we're launching here with studying this book or hearing what Peter says about living as exiles. It's not a new concept. It's not some flashy new thing for 2022, and it's not unique to this series. This is what we want to do, which is to live out the reality of Jesus. It's simply who we are here at Western Hills. Live out the reality of Jesus to every person, every place, all the time. That's what Peter is writing about to his audience in this book. and what we believe God is speaking to us in this season as well. So what we're going to do now is start to jump in those first few verses. We're going to take Paul's letter to the exiles at that time, and with the leading of the Holy Spirit, see how this is going to apply to us in our place and time. So if you haven't already, you can open up your Bibles to 1 Peter on your personal Bible or on your phone, and you can follow along. I think you'll find in these first verses that Peter's setting us up with a lot of expectations. These first verses are all about expectations. Our family has a tradition at Christmas time. Somebody gave Danny and I this book really early in our marriage. It has all kinds of delicious Christmas cookie recipes. And, you know, we have our standard ones that we make. But every year, one of the things we do as an adventure is to have everybody in our family pick out a new recipe from this book. And we make it, and sometimes they even turn out good and make it into our permanent rotation. But it's a fun tradition that we have. And about 7 or 8 years ago now, one of our boys decided, he looked in the book and decided he on the cookie recipe that he wanted to pick out. And it was snowman cutout cookies. And there's a picture straight from this book. And here, looks great. They got little Reese's peanut butter cups as a hat. These look awesome and fantastic and delicious. So normally I'm the cookie maker and we go through and do that. But this is something Daddy wanted to do with his boy. And so they did it and they worked so hard and they couldn't wait to get them on the tray. And when they finally got done, here's what we got. Expectation and reality. Nailed it. Expectation and reality. These tasted fine, but the look, not so much. You can be the judge. But they were definitely not what we expected. And isn't this true in our lives? Our expectations and reality, they don't always line up, do they? But as Peter opens this letter, he's going to give us some really good clarification on that, because our expectations, we certainly can expect to be true alongside a reality. He's going to intentionally remind the believers in exile about what they should expect on our journey, and we can do the same here. He begins, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation." Doesn't that just sound so Peter? Like that enthusiasm just oozes off the page. I love it. You can't help but catch a little bit of that excitement. I think this is the red heart emoji Peter, not the face palm emoji Peter in this section here. He says, now we live with great expectation. Great expectation. Some of your translations say a living hope. And that's really what this section is all about. It's reminding us of the why we're living in exile in the first place. What is this hope and this expectation that he's talking about? Let's keep going. We have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation. So he begins in these verses by encouraging us. Before he gives us any other instruction, before he gives us any other guidance, he wants us to look forward. He wants us to remember that reason. He wants us to keep our eye on the prize and the big picture and focus on the one who is the reason for everything. He tells us that what we should live in expectation of are things like we heard in those verses, living hope, a priceless inheritance, protection in our relationship with God, and salvation. You can see that these are things that he's looking forward to in the future, but it's also things that we can experience here in this time. He wants us to keep our expectations by remembering that this is not our home. This is not our home. We can look forward to the future hope that Jesus brings and the hope that he brings in our day-to-day lives. So continuing in verse 6, he says, "Be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine." So in setting this expectation for us, Peter reminds us that there are also challenges involved when we're going on a journey, when we're sojourning in this way. This is not our home. And along with the great expectations that now we can add to the list, include wonderful joy that our future will bring, there's also this reality of trials. While we're sojourners here, we will have great expectation and we will have trials. You'll find in the coming weeks, we'll be unpacking this a lot, that there's this heavy theme of suffering that goes throughout this book. And while Peter encourages us with all of these amazing things that we can expect, he also clearly states what we shouldn't expect. And that's that we shouldn't expect all the hope and joy and feel good without the trials. It's not going to be easy peasy. There are going to be challenges that go along the way. And this especially is true when you're living in a culture that's hostile to Jesus. That was true for the early believers, it was true for us, and it was true for Jesus himself. Guys, he was the living hope, and he still endured suffering and rejection and persecution. Here's the thing. The reality of trials doesn't make the expectation of Jesus any less true. In the cookies, maybe it does. Maybe our expectations and our reality didn't line up. But both are true, Peter is saying in this situation. The reality of trial doesn't make the expectation of Jesus any less true. In the midst of suffering, there is living hope. Both things are true. Peter shows us that trials and hope, expectations and reality, go side by side through this book. Trials from the world and hope in Jesus. So thinking back to verse 3, we can live with great expectation. Expectation of living hope and expectation of trials. And we should. We should live in that way. Live with great expectation. As we're standing here on the precipice of a brand new year, I think it. When we think about that and we think about what our expectations are for 2022, for some of us, that's really, it's exciting, isn't it? It feels like a clean slate. It feels like something fresh that we can start anew and begin again. We have those expectations of hope and joy and excitement and possibility. But maybe for others of us, maybe for others of us, as we stare down the line of 2022, it seems ominous. It seems hard. It seems like there's a trial in front of us that seems insurmountable. And in both of these situations, whether it's hope and expectation or reality and trials, either one of those could be real or imagined, but we stand in this place of thinking about what's coming next. The hope or the trials looming large. The night that he was betrayed, we find Jesus alone in the olive garden, in the olive grove, olive garden. Wow, I must be hungry. We find Jesus alone in the olive grove while his disciples were sleeping nearby. And in that moment in the garden, do you realize that he was carrying and experiencing the full reality of trial and suffering? He knows what's coming. He's very much in the moment of that reality. No one else fully comprehends what is going to happen. But he is carrying the reality of that trial and suffering. Scripture said he was in such agony that he cried tears like drops of blood. And in that same moment, he carried the full expectation of hope and salvation. He was the living hope, the living word. And he stood in that moment full of expectation and purely seeking the will of his Father. And while he carried those things, the expectation and the reality, what did he do? He prayed. He took all of these things and laid them at the feet of his Father. So we want to ask you this morning, what are your great expectations in Christ today? Where is your hope? And what are the realities? What are the trials that you're enduring? On your chair, you'll find a little card. You can go ahead and grab these now. There's also some pens scattered around. And we're going to use these cards this morning to kind of have our own time of prayer and response with God as we head into this coming year. So here in just a second, we're going to take a moment. I want you to pray. Just don't rush it. Just pray. Talk to God and identify an area of expectation and hope in Christ, which is on one side of the card. And then on the other side is the reality and the trial. So think about an expectation and hope that you're encountering right now. And then on the flip side, similarly, identify a reality or a trial that you're up against. Now, this could be anything. It could be for you. It could be for your family. It could be for our church. It could be for the lost that we're trying to reach, that we're sojourning among. What are your great expectations? Think about those. Write one of each down. They will be unique to you. They'll be personal between you and God. And then we're going to bring them up here at the end and lay them on the altar at the feet of Jesus. Now, I did mine, and I'm just sharing this with you so that you can kind of understand what we're trying to accomplish here. Again, this is going to be personal to you between what you and God do. So for expectation and hope for me in looking through this year, I have an expectation of simply spending time in your presence and the joy that comes with that, that wonderful joy that we read about in the verse. For me, that's a hope and an expectation for this year. I know that there's promise in that. We've spent the last series largely focused on how we do that. That's a hope and an expectation that I have. Now, for me, the reality and the trial of that is that there's also this constant distraction of the world pulling at my time. I've got three kids. They've got issues. They're having surgeries and navigating stuff in school. I've got, you know, my job, and I love my work here, but there's pressures that go along with ministry, and then there's the scheduling and all of those things that come in. So for me, there's this constant distraction of the world pulling up my time. That's my reality and my trial that I want to lay at the feet of Jesus as I focus on the expectation. So use this opportunity at the beginning of this series, at the beginning of this year, to bring your expectation and your reality up here. You can see there's some up here already. Lay them at the feet of Jesus. Let him speak into them. Let him do with them what he will. So I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to take some moments in that time afterwards to reflect and respond. And then when you're ready, come lay them at the feet of Jesus. Heavenly Father, you are so good. We thank you for the living hope that we can live in expectation of, for the things that are to come, like our salvation and our inheritance and all of those things that are coming because we love you and because we know you. And similarly, Lord, for the things that you give us now while we're here sojourning as exiles on this earth, for that protection of a relationship with you, for that peace that passes all understanding, for that comfort. Lord, we pray these things for others in the culture of which we are stepping foot in. The reason that we want to share you is because we want them to know you and to experience that same kind of hope and that same kind of expectation. So, Father, we praise you for the expectation and the hope that you give. And, Lord, we also have trials. So this morning, as we're contemplating these things, I just pray for each of us that you would whisper into our ears a reminder of that expectation and that hope, and also a comfort and a covering over the reality of those trials. Speak to each one of us. Meet us right where we are. Thank you so much, Lord, in your Son's name. Amen. Take a few minutes, and then when you're ready, bring them up front.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
That's kind of hit me in the last couple of months, and those of you who've hung out with me are going to hear this over and over again, but I think this is one of these things that God's kind of ambushed me with to close out 2021, looking forward to 2022. And this goes to the answering the what's my expectations. 2021 ended with me just camped in Psalm 27. I don't know why God just kind of ambushed me with that, and just every circumstance, that psalm just came rushing into my head. And the psalm is really kind of depressing at the first of it. I mean, it's talking about enemies and being surrounded and, you know, a pox on all my enemies and I hope they get swallowed up by, you know, the earth and all that kind of stuff. But there's all this stuff that David writes about. But as he kind of lands the plane on the psalm, there's two verses that just, oh man, they just capture me. In spite of all the stuff that's gone on in his life, this is how he ends the psalm. I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. I'm confident that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. So wait patiently. Be brave. Wait patiently. That's how he ends the psalm. I'm confident that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. And so I'm walking into 2022 with that expectation, right? That I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Even though that we are now a minority, and there's more folks not following Jesus, and every time you turn on the news, you get bad news and just all stuff. But I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. And over the last few weeks, God's kind of pushed this into me a little bit further, and this is where I think the reality sets in, and why we're studying 1 Peter, and why 2022 we're framing some things for this. I think it's more than just that I will see the Lord's goodness, but I think it's this call to us as Christ followers, that we will be the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. That you and your relationship with Jesus Christ and the overflow of that relationship, that is going to be the Lord's goodness in the places where you walk, in the places that you school, the places that you family, the places that you work, the places where you hang out. It's not that just that you will see the Lord's goodness, but he's put you there to be the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. In the land of the living. And this is why we need to kind of take some tips from a guy like Peter to understand, what does it mean to live as an exile? What does it mean to land in this land, to live as God's goodness for folks? And we're going to unpack this more and more throughout the year. But the cool thing about this process, the cool thing about this calling that we have from Scripture is that we don't have to go by ourselves. This is why we have the church. This is why we have connect groups and discipleship pairs and all the things that we're trying to put in front of us as the body of Christ, to not just stay connected vertically with Christ, but to stay connected with each other horizontally. That God continues to grow us to look more like him with each other as we do this thing called life. And so that's kind of our prayer for 2022. As we kick off this new series, as we kick off this new year, learning what it means to live out the reality of Jesus to every single person at every single place that we walk all the time. And when we do that, it's not just us that will get to see the Lord's goodness, but it will be all people that get to see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. That's my prayer, expectation for 2022. Thank you for worshiping with us today and braving the bitter cold of the Kansas Plains. It does my heart good to see y'all this morning, the few and the proud. I do have a little bit of business to take care of. I know that many of you have been following Parker and Candace Dane and Charlie, their little one, that she got COVID, and so they've been in the ER. I texted Parker this morning, and I got permission to share this because you know how Parker is. I said, "Hey, man, we're praying for you." And he just texted me back a few moments ago. He said, "Listen, a hospital chest X-ray found inflammation in her right lung. They think it's viral, but they don't want to take a chance. So they sent us home, so that's good, with an antibiotic regimen. Love you, tell the family." I said, "Hey, and you do have my permission to share with the church." So that's from Parker and Candace. They're no longer in the ER. I know many of you had kind of saw that update from them, and continue to pray for them. As a matter of fact, we're just going to pause. This is family, so we're just going to pause and pray for Parker and Candace. For those of you that are kind of lost, I know we've got some folks online. Parker is, he's going to hate us. He's one of our kids, okay, and we sent him to plant a church in Wichita, and so that's who they are, and you can talk to me later. I'll tell you all about it. We're going to pray for them real quick. Father, we do lift up Parker and Candace and Charlie, and we just pray healing. And Father, I just pray a spirit of calmness for new parents. We know that the firstborn, everything is new and everything is really, really high stress and crazy. But Father, we just pray healing and calmness, and that they experience your presence this morning. We just pray protection over them, and we do this in your name. Amen. All right. Would you stand with me as I get to say a blessing over you guys? Listen, my promise to you this year is I am going to finally get this nailed down and completely memorized. I'm working on it. I'm about 80% there. So here we go, the blessing. In Christ, you go nowhere alone. Wherever you go, God is there. And wherever you are, God can work through you. He gives purpose to your being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something to do through you where you are. So believe this and go in his grace, love, and power. You'll be the church.